When I look around at all the broken pieces, it seems impossible that I can make it through. When I'm all alone and standing at the crossroads, I remember that my strength is found in you. Whatever
folks, and today we have a special guest with us on the Ed Boston Podcast Network. We have Natasha Owens with us. Welcome to the show, Natasha.
Hey guys, thank you for having me.
We're just being introduced to your music, and we're excited about playing some later in the show. And you've got a busy schedule. You had an album out a few months ago. You're getting ready to put another new one out, but you had a pretty big award that was given to you here recently. Tell us about that.
said, it was very special to me because it was my very first award, and it was it's called the Inspo Award, which meant it was the Inspirational Album of the Year. So we were very blessed and very thankful to be awarded that.
And tell us a little bit about all the work that goes into putting out a new album that you're going to be releasing here real soon.
Yeah, we are starting to work next week in the studio. It's a process, and sometimes the process flows very quickly, and sometimes it lingers on for a little bit too long. And, you know, people ask me, well, how do songs come about? And they come about in different ways. Sometimes God just gives it to you, and it just starts flowing. You start writing down something, or you meet with a producer, and they start playing something, and then it just flows. And sometimes, you know, you kind of beat the lyrics to death and getting them in the right place and so forth, and then have to get to, I don't play an instrument, so I have to get to someone who can put music to it. So it's different ways of getting to the same point. And then once you get the song written, then you've got to go in and do vocals and the music and put all the layers together, the mixing and then the mastering, and then it's ready to go. So sometimes that can take a couple months, and sometimes it can take a couple years.
Oh man, that would be a long task, huh?
Yes. I've had this last album that just came out, actually, because we were waiting on the most amazing producer. His time was few and far between. It took us about 2 years to get the whole album out.
Now let's talk about that album, We Will Rise. That was the one that won the Inspo Award for Inspirational Album of the Year. Tell us about that work.
That album, the very first album that I did was called I Made It Through, and it was just the beginning of a trial to making it through one. And then God dealt with me after that album was done that you can make it through a trial, but most people truly don't rise above it. And I truly believe that we have to turn around and help others along the same path of where we've just conquered, and kind of get beyond us and truly be God's footwork. And that's truly rising above your circumstance. So it is an album that is more upbeat, but yet still has some deep lyrics, to try to still help people make it through, but also equip them to rise above it as well.
Well, I intentionally waited a few minutes here into talking with you. Your story is one that is, it's one of those wow stories, and I just want to sit back and listen to you talk about the tragedy in life and how you've overcome, and just share with our audience.
Well, I had been raised in church all my life and had been fortunate to not have too many faith-shaking things in my life, at least nothing too major. And I thought I was anchored in Christ because I had been raised in a religion that I really thought would keep me anchored. And 8 years ago, actually in 2 days will be 8 years, my dad was cleaning his guns, and sitting at the table, and it was just a dangerous gun. There was a bullet in the chamber that he didn't see. He missed the step, and it went off and hit him in the heart. And so 60 seconds later, he's gone. And life as I knew it, I felt was gone. I went through this shock stage of trying to wrap my mind around what had actually happened. Then I kicked into the strength mode of trying to be the strength for my entire family, including my kids. And I kept suppressing, by staying busy, I kept suppressing my grief further and further and further. And then I hit the stage of grief called anger. And I was so angry because I questioned, why, God? He was such a great man. He was both parents to me. Why would you take him from us? And he made such a difference in this world by the way he lived his life and how he loved people. And I didn't get an answer to that why question. And that why is so dangerous because 9 times out of 10, we will not get an answer. We have to ask, how can we help someone else? Who do we need to help, and what do we need to learn? Those are the two questions we need to ask. But human nature questions. And so I down spiraled into depression very quickly. I mean, it was a year before I dealt with my grief. I was angry at God and I spoke the wrong things. And what I spoke caused me to change how I thought about life and God and everything else. And so most days I found myself in a predicament where I couldn't get out of bed. And 6 months into the depression, my pastor called and said, I need for you to step up and be our music minister. And I laughed at him. I said, you should see my life every day. I can't get out of bed. You're wanting me to motivate people, tell them how great God is, when at this moment I don't feel like he's great. I'm just being honest. And he said, well, just think about it, pray about it, let me know. And I said, well, you already got my answer. Well, he kept calling, and he called on a particular day, it was either the third or fourth time, that I had already convinced myself that day of two things. I was tired of feeling the way I felt, and that life would be a better place without me. And he called on that particular day, and he said, I don't want you to say anything, I just want you to listen. I feel that God always gives a way out. He always gives a lifeline. And it's choices that we make. And he said, I feel like this is your last lifeline, and I feel like he wants you to take this position. And I said, well, do you want a music minister that can't read the Bible and can't pray? Because I'm not to that point yet. And he said, that's what God wants. We just have to be patient with that process. And so what pastor would do that? He allowed me step in, and it was the beginning of my healing. It took me years to dig out, but he taught me so much. And I would play music every day, getting ready for that weekend. And pretty soon I was out of bed. And so I used music to help get me out of bed, get me going in the day, keep me focused until I could get into a place where I could have a relationship back with him again, where I could read my Bible and pray. And so when the opportunity came around to actually do a CD, God was in my entire walk. I didn't know why we were doing one, but I felt like it needed to be a restoration project for people who have gone through something faith-shaking. And so I thought when we got out on, you know, like touring and so forth, that it would specifically be to people. My ministry would be catered just to grief. But what I realized is it's kind of a universal message of what I'm saying, because when we go through something faith-shaking, we all go through the stages of the same grief, the acceptance, the denial, the anger. So it's been pretty universal, and God's been in my pathway illuminating which doors to go into. But I will say one thing. The one particular thing that turned my path around, I was working on music as a music minister for that weekend, and God laid upon my heart to just do a search, just Google the different types of love. And I'd been raised in church. I thought I knew what God's true agape love. But up to that point, I had felt so guilty for the way that I had acted, for the things that I said to God, for how I thought, that was still separating me from God a little bit, because up until that point I had served God through works, you know. But there's nothing we can do to cause God to love us any less or any more than he already does.
Right.
And through that search, it just kept saying that over and over and over to me, that there's nothing you can do to buy God's love to where he loves you more. Nor is there nothing you can do that will disappoint him so much that he doesn't love you. And so that right there was really the beginning to my full recovery. I completely turned around and let that wall come down. It's such a simple thought, but we do it as humans. We think that we can, if I just pray a little more, if I just go to church a little more, I can buy his love. He loves us regardless.
Yes, he does.
So there's so much more to my story, but that would probably blow people's minds. But that's the gist of it. God never left me. He was always there. And sometimes when we go through things, we never think, we're so much in our situation, how can we give to someone else? How can we reach out? But God has made this unbelievable system. where in the midst of whatever we're going through, if we'll just look beyond ourselves and go serve and help someone else, God heals you in return. Every note that came out of my mouth on that platform, I got healing in return, and I could feel it. I could feel it. I got stronger every song I sang. So if you as the listener is going through something today, you know, go feed the homeless. Go rock the babies who don't have anyone to rock them in the hospitals. Do something that's beyond yourself, and it will be amazing the healing that you get in return.
Now, has God placed numerous people in your path that are going through the same type of things that come to you with their stories?
My goodness, you know, but my prayer every day, I still pray this today, is that I cross paths with whoever needs to hear something from me. And people come out of the woodwork, even when I'm not on the road doing music, even in town, I'm crossing paths with someone all the time that you sit back and you look, God sent that person to me. We cross paths for a reason, you know? And it's hard. It's hard to live out on the road, especially I have two kids and we run our own businesses back here in Texas. And I'm very involved in both of those. And so it gets tough. But the moment I get to the point where I feel like I can't do music anymore because it's the only thing in my life that I can voluntarily give up, you know, God always crosses my path at that exact moment with somebody that it blows me away what I'm hearing, that it makes me sit back and say, this is why we do what we're doing. This is why the sacrifice is worth it. We had a guy, for instance, his mom and siblings bought tickets to our concert. I was on the road with Jason Crabb, and he was planning on committing suicide. He had lost his dad. And he was planning on killing himself that night while they were at that concert. But they had bought him a ticket, and they begged him to go, and he said no. Well, his family got stuck in traffic and had to go straight to the concert. Well, he wasn't going to tell him what he was going to do, but he wanted in his way to tell him goodbye. So he was pretty upset. He had to go up to the concert to get that goodbye. And they convinced him to stay for the first 5 minutes, and he ended up staying the entire concert, and he came up with tears in his eyes, and he said, I was planning on committing suicide tonight, but I feel like God has given me another chance. And he said, it's what I'm feeling real. And the only response that we could say to that was, you can't deny what you feel. You already know the answer to that question. God is healing you at this moment. And we prayed for him, and to this day, he's still living. And so you realize what, as Christians, what a responsibility we have to a world that is, we're all hurting. It's a hopeless world, but we have to be the light. We have to show them that God is the way and that he loves them. And that's our only job, really. It's not to judge, it's just to love.
Well, that's a wonderful story, and God blessed you in so many ways with that, to be able to, I know that has to help you heal, and God put you in that person's life at the very moment, not even just close to when he needed it, but the very day that he needed it.
The very day that he needed it, and the very day I needed it, because, you know, what he didn't know is earlier that day, I just about had a meltdown. We had some problems back at home, and I just was so tired, and I just felt like I needed to be at home. And I said, I can't do this anymore. You know, I'm human. There's only so much I can do. And I didn't even feel like going out on stage that night. But I did, because I knew that God needed me to. And it wasn't me. It was what God did in his life that night. And I sat back with tears in my eyes that night and said, this is why I do what I do. I cannot give that up. I have to keep going, and God's just going to have to give me the strength. You know, because that's what it's all about. If we can just save one, then it's worth it, right?
Well, you've been on tour as an opening act for Michael W. Smith. You mentioned Jason Crabb. It's got to be pretty awesome to be with those kind of people who are well known by pretty much everybody that listens to Christian music.
Yeah, I mean, they're Grammy winners, and, you know, I was so intimidated being on the road with guys who, and, you know, artists that have accomplished so much, and, you know, pretty nervous, definitely intimidated, because I felt like I was a kindergartner running with a bunch of college professors. But, of course, the audience pulled me to the same level. And so I remember one day Jason told me, because I was so nervous, and he said, "Tosh, God always equips who he calls. Rest in that. He called you, he will equip you." And that helped me so much to know that God already blazed the path and that I was supposed to be there. And, you know, it just took away all the nerves, because what people didn't know is I suffer with anxiety. And being a music minister to a small crowd was the hardest thing I could ever do, much less singing to thousands of people. And like Jason's music, his music was very impactful during my recovery. So to be on stage with him, to sing with him, to tour with him and others, has just been, it's been a dream come true. I never thought I would do something kind of late in my life like this, but God's good.
Tell us about your website and your social media, where we can find out all about you.
Sure. Well, you know, we've got Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all that, but you can go to NatashaOwensMusic.com, and it will direct you to every place imaginable, iTunes and Facebook and Instagram. And I do want to say that I never want my ministry to stop at that platform, because I just don't feel like I would be really doing what God wants me to do. I do my own Facebook page, which is Natasha Owens Music. I don't do the others, but I do that. That's mine. If you need something, if you need prayer, if you need music equipment, I mean, I send stuff out the door, people who really need it. And you can message me through Facebook and get directly to me, and I'll do what I can to help you.
Well, as we were sitting here talking, I went to your different, at least to three or four of your different social media, and subscribed to YouTube, followed you on Facebook, or liked you on Facebook, and followed you on Twitter. I'm kind of old, and all of the, you know, all this social media stuff is for people younger than me, and
Me too. It never fails at a concert. Someone will come up afterwards, and it's teenagers, you know, it's 12, 13, 14 year olds, and they'll say, "Do you have Snapchat?" And I'm like, I don't even know what Snapchat is. Now I do, because my kids informed me that I was old and didn't know what Snapchat was, but keep up with it. I can do Facebook, though. That's about it. It's hard to teach an old dog new tricks.
Well, we are right in the same boat there. I downloaded Snapchat one time, and it never made any sense to me, so I don't even have it downloaded anymore. And Facebook, I'm good with, so.
Facebook makes sense to me, I guess. So I do my own Facebook, but Lord, thank goodness I have somebody to do all the others to accommodate all the requests, I guess.
Now, after you put the album out, you'll be on tour again, I'm sure, later in the year?
Yeah, we've got tours that are starting up this summer. They're not posted yet, but they will be in the next week or so. And the album will be done in the summertime, and we've got a tour that will be announced soon that's going to be in the fall with Micah Tyler and J.J. Weeks. And that album will be done by the fall, so we will launch that at the time tour starts in September.
All right. Well, it's been such a pleasure to get to know you, and we call people that we have on the show friends of the podcast after they've been on. So you are now a friend of the Ed Boston podcast, and we're just pleasure. It's a pleasure to hear your story. We mourn that you had to go through what you did, but we know that God was with you and saw you all the way through.
That's right. He sure did. Even when I wasn't strong.
Well, let me pray with you, okay?
Awesome.
Father, we thank you for our new friend, Natasha, and we thank you for the example that she sets for others. Father, we were sad and sorry that she went through such a tragedy. But Father, we're thankful that she knew you and you were with her all the way through that. Even at times when she wanted nothing to do with you, Father, you still loved her unconditionally. And Father, we can all learn from that. We pray that her ministry continues to reach those who are hurting and grieving, and that you will continue to put her in the path of others and put others in her path as they need it, both Natasha and the ones that she doesn't even know yet. We thank you for her music ministry and the awesome job that she's doing there. Bless her, Father, as she goes into the studio here soon, and just anoint the work that she's doing so that souls can be won for you, Father. We pray this all in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much.
All right, folks, that's today's interview here on the Ed Boston Podcast Network. Want to thank you for being a part of what we do here. Want to encourage you to look us up at edboston.com. While you're there, you can find our Facebook page, our Twitter account. It's got all the different places that you can listen to the Ed Boston podcast at. And let me just list a few of those for you here. Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, Pocket Casts, Blueberry. We're on all of those with our podcast. One of those is your favorite. We'd encourage you to bookmark us, however it is that that individual site has you to save your favorites. We would love to be able to consider ourselves one of your favorites. We want you to go to the Ed Boston Podcast YouTube page. Subscribe there. We put a lot of things up from the podcast there as well. Sermons are there. We just would love for you to be a part of what we do in all of our different areas of social media. If you've been blessed by today's program, contact us. You can reach us through the edboston.com website there. Go to contact. It'll say, please use the information below to easily contact me, Ed Boston. It asks for your name, your email address, the comment that you would like to put, whether it be feedback on the podcast, learn about Jesus, a media inquiry, or book me for an event. That is the best way to reach me. We would love to hear your feedback on this program or any other concern that you have. We thank you again for being with us. God bless you, and go out and do the right thing.